Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, whenever you're listening. This is the Fool's Folly Podcast.
Cool. Hello. I don't know how to start these things.
Good.
I don't know how to do it.
So, welcome back. Thank you for listening to the Fool's Folly Podcast. As always, we are your fools, Connor Maud.
Darren Hill.
And this week we're doing it a little bit different. There's a bunch of us in the room this time.
Yeah, we didn't think we've had enough white men on the show.
Having said that,
we've had no.
These are our first, apart from us, these will be our first male guests.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Oh, right, okay.
We're up in the quota.
We're up in the quota of what? Because there's
not enough opportunities.
There's not enough opportunities for straight white men in this world. So today we've got with us some fantastic guests. If you want to go from yourself onto there, who you are, a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, I'm Liam, I'm 19 years old. I'm currently going through drama school auditions and trying to get my name out there. And just currently thoroughly working on my monologues, getting ready for them.
I'm Joe, I'm also 19 years old. I've just come out of a foundation course at Rose Bruford. And now I'm joining the Royal Air Force.
My name's Jack. I'm an aspiring musician, and I'm just trying to get some of my demos out there that I've just started writing and recording.
Did you say your name, your age, Jack? Just because otherwise it looks like we have just got a club of 19-year-olds, which I'm fine with.
I'm 24.
Great, because we're also crossing age boundaries as well.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. So I guess it's interesting having you guys. So we're currently recording in the Theatre Royal in Margate, which is obviously a lovely place to be. But so all of you currently are working as assistants to Darren for the youth theatre. So I guess how did you sort of get involved with those things, and what sort of made you want to kind of get involved with that? Have you always been involved with participation? Is it something you like to kind of do more of in the future? Is it stuff you're doing interesting now?
You mean joining Darren? Mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I got involved because of my friend Joe here, because I was looking to kind of expand what I can do acting wise and drama, and Darren teaches SYT, and I thought that would be a very good opportunity for me to get involved as well, get a bit of experience on the other side instead of acting it or teaching it, or help teach younger kids, and you learn different skills. Through doing that, yeah. So thank you, Jeff.
That's all right. Yeah, no, I was just sitting on the sofa one day, and then Darren popped up with a message asking to come back and help him. And I've been working for him for three or 4 years.
Must have been. Three. Yeah, you were in SYT, for 3 years, weren't you? I think before. Yeah.
So coming back was something that I really want to do, and he messaged me, and I was like, "Yeah, let's bring it on." I've just learned so much new stuff at Rose Bruford that I want to.
Well, put it all into action, kind of thing. Yeah, fully.
I was also an ex-student of Darren's, and I got a message as well, and I wanted to gather some more teaching experience. Mm. Yeah, that's mainly my reasons for joining.
Very cool. And also, I'm very good.
Of course. The best.
And he is available for hire, anyone.
I so am.
He likes money.
Don't we all?
Don't we all? Like money. I really like that. I'm going to keep that little soundbite for right at the end.
No, it's interesting that you also, because obviously, you know, the way you sort of kind of introduce yourself shows you, and even us to an extent there as well, we're all kind of at different stages of our career in many ways. So obviously, Joe, I just want to ask you a little bit about, having come out of Rose Bruford, what made you sort of want to transition into, you know, going into the service, going into the Air Force?
Well, most of my family are in the Royal Air Force at the moment, it's something that's always sort of been in the back of my mind.
Anyway.
And I went to Rose Bruford because I got offered a foundation year, and I'm not going to say no.
So I did
my 6 months there and really, really enjoyed myself because I love acting. Like, that's one of my favourite things to do, I think. Probably my biggest passion. But I was speaking to a lot of third years that were at Rose Bruford, and they were all sort of worried about, I don't have any proper work when I'm getting out of this, and I'm going to be in student debt, and I don't have anywhere to live, I don't have anywhere to stay. And I was like, I want something a bit more secure, and I knew that the Royal Air Force was more secure.
Yeah.
So that's something that, a big turning point. And also I feel like that's, the joining the RAF is more my purpose than acting is my passion, the kind of difference between purpose and passion.
Yeah, no, I get that. I just had a question in my head and I completely forgot what it was now. So. Dang it. So did you make that... No, dang it. Oh, sorry. We're really good at interviewing, guys. We're really, really good at this. We should be right now. We've done enough. No, yeah. My question was going to be, so do you think it might be something, unless obviously you find massive success in the Air Force, do you think it might be something you would ever come back to afterwards?
Oh, yeah, no. I've even told the teachers at Rose Bruford that I was wanting to join the RAF and said it's 6 to 12 years minimum service,
right,
depending on stuff that happens. I don't really know at the moment, but I said to them, because they were really pushing me to keep going on and keep doing it every single year until I get in, and most of the schools that I went to were basically telling me to grow up, basically.
Right.
So I sort of took that on board and went, I can do these 6 and 12 years, and if I want to go back and apply again and go through that process again, then I know that that's something that I really want to do, and that is a purpose of mine instead of being a passion now. So yeah,
which is interesting, because it's nice, because you're there and Liam, you're still very much this is what I want to do, and going into drama school. When was do you remember when you wanted to get involved with this industry? Was that at a very young age? Has it been something that's fairly recent?
I say it's more recent. It's more when I've come out of kind of sixth form, because I started performing when I was in like year eight, year nine, back in secondary school, and I mean back then, you know, I didn't touch acting. I didn't know. Back then I was a kid who didn't speak to anyone. I was a bit of a loner, really, a bit of an introvert. But through doing just simple school performances, it's really got me confidence up a lot more. And from then on, I just kept pursuing it. And by the time I left Charles Dickens, my secondary school, I went on to sixth form, did drama there. And as I did drama there, I kind of was like, I want to carry this on further and do more research into it, more about drama schools. Unfortunately, I wish I did something more drama-y at sixth form. I mean, like, you can go to a college or a drama college for those 2 years instead. I'm sad I didn't get to do that, but oh well, I can't do it anymore. No. So here on, I'm just going for drama school auditions. It's my third year applying now. I'm going for more than ever. I'm going for about 10 this year.
Wow. I don't think I ever got up to 10 when I was applying.
But I just kind of see it as more keep pursuing it. And it's not just that. I'm also, you know, I've got myself an agent, showreel, headshots. At the moment, the work's not coming through as much simply because I'm just so focused and hammered on my drama school auditions, because I'm doing so many. I want to really put everything I've got into it. I've got a private tutor, and Darren helped me out actually as well. Thank you, Darren.
The best.
Available for hire. I like money. How do you? So what you're saying? I mean, suppose what you're saying is you're doing things properly, which is quite nice. Which is, you know. Well, I'm sat here going, I don't have headshots. I don't have an agent. I don't have a showreel. Never had those things.
Yeah.
So you say this is your third year?
This is my third year applying.
How have you found that's... Because the last episode we recorded, Darren and I don't know if you've heard it. I hope you have. We had a conversation about sort of mental health when working in the industry and sort of like... And the hurdles and the obstacles you face and how that can affect your mental health. Because it's a really tough industry. It's... Because of how much you tie your character to the business and you working, how do you find that's affected your mental health sort of as you've gone on? Has your resolve gotten stronger, or is it sort of, you know, wavered at all as you've gone the extra couple of years to do it?
I don't think mental health for me. I was fine. I'm quite a thick-skinned person.
I'm a pussy.
Oh, by the way, they'll be swearing.
I didn't like that.
I didn't like it either as soon as I did it. But the thought entered my head, I didn't like it, and I thought I should try it just to explore that option, and I hate it.
Darren Hill. The best.
Like that.
Sorry, Liam. Sorry. Where was I? I'm quite thick-skinned. And it doesn't affect me much when I get told no.
Sure.
I mean, first year round, I wasn't expecting to get in many places, more of a tester, see how it is at auditions.
Right, okay.
I didn't get any recalls, so there's a no from every single one at the first audition. Second year, I went for about 5, but again, I also got no recalls, and that hit me a little bit, I think, not getting
after
a single
second,
recall
after
the second year. Yeah, it did dishearten me a lot, actually. Yeah. It didn't, you know, I don't know if that counts into mental health more or more just, it kind of set me back a bit.
I guess that's, they can sort of be interestingly, I suppose. So Jack, so obviously you're a little bit different. Obviously you have been a performer and you know are a performer in many ways, but obviously it's more now you're looking to go down like a different route, so with the music side of it and things like that. When did you want to be an actor before, and is this something that you've taken instead, or
I think I've always been quite drawn to performing in some way. So I think in terms of performance, it started at the age of 11, and I was lucky enough in my primary school to get the role of Ebenezer Scrooge. And then sort of there was a long drought sort of in secondary school where I wasn't performing that much. And it wasn't really until I picked up a guitar at the age of 14 where I kind of started to revisit that performing knack. Sorry, poor choice of words.
It's really great. It's an audio medium. We can edit you. You can say that exact sentence again.
And
we
it, sounds, better.
And it sounds better the second time around.
Of course, yeah. I've started playing guitar about the age of 14, and it was just like a classical guitar, classical Spanish guitar that was left discarded by a family member.
Phone on. Sorry, go on.
I think it's not just performance really that was the main thing that I was drawn to. I think I started to realise that it's more writing that was
the
my
creative
thing.
Side.
So
yeah.
So I started writing songs properly about the age of 16. Mm-hmm. I recorded a few of them, and they were sort of like the typical cliche things that you would write about. Then afterwards there was another long drought where I wasn't really doing anything particularly creative. And then there was kind of a fortuitous event when I was just on the bus on the way to university, because I was commuting at the time, and I met one of Darren's colleagues who was then the leader of the youth theatre, the young company. And I got talking with him and I joined Margate's Theatre Royal Young Company, and that's how I got involved in theatre again.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Fate.
Serendipity.
Yeah.
After a few years being involved in that, I found myself going back on myself and revisiting music again.
I've
been starting to write songs very seriously. I think I've settled on music as my mode of performance and writing. Yeah, and I think it's also from writing several songs, most of them were kind of cliche. Again, and then I started writing one that was a completely different subject to something that I'd usually write about, and that's when I realised I'm taking this more seriously than I think I ever have before.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been a long road of sort of like just figuring out whereabouts I want to be in terms of performance and creating things, because I do want to create.
Yeah, I think I think you have to have those trials and tribulations. Yeah. No one comes out and writes the White Album, in their first run at it, or you know, Sgt. Pepper's Lenny Hart's Band.
So are you seeing it as a career, or is it something at the moment you just wanted to do for fun, and that's more important?
I think it's something I want to do for fun. If there was ever the prospect of it being a career, that would be fantastic. But I think I'm keeping myself sceptical in the sense that it's highly competitive, and there's going to be people that are just as good as you, if not better.
Yeah.
I'm very much up for that competition, but to be honest, I enjoy it as a pursuit that I would keep on the side of probably more serious things. That said, I am sort of thinking about what I want to do with this in the next 3 or 4 years.
Mm.
So probably I'm just being slightly modest in the fact that
Liam's stomach really reacted to that.
Just do yourselves a favour, go back and listen to the last 20 seconds or so with headphones on.
So I'm thinking about maybe producing a few EPs and putting them out and seeing what people think about that. Because I think, like these two guys as well, we're kind of very much in the early stages of where we want to be, and it's just like we're just trying to figure out where we are, I think.
I mean, come on. It's
interesting because you mentioned the competitive nature of everything. So I suppose this, I hope this kind of opens it up for kind of a bit of general discussion, which is how do you find the three of you, how have you dealt with whenever you're involved in this industry with it being so competitive? Is it something that is scary and oppressive? Do you find you enjoy it? Do you find different ways to deal with it? Do you see it as a competition? How do you negotiate? Have you found that you've negotiated that?
I think when I meant by competition, it's sort of, I don't mean that I'm competing with other people so much. And I think it's more the fact that you have to be aware that
there's only so much market share, I guess, in a way. There's only so many hours in a day you can listen to or watch things. I guess it's not... Yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe it's not competition with other people. It's almost competition with people putting their eyes on it.
Mm. That's it.
Because there's so much media to consume now. And how often, you know, how many hours in a day can you can you convince people to put clothes on and go out and...
But I think that's completely true. But for when you guys with your drama school auditioning and things, where actually that rightly or wrongly is either set up or it can feel like a competition where you are actively with people and you're all trying to get the same thing, which is be one of a very small group of people that get places on those courses. A, did it feel like a competition to you? Were you ever made to feel like it was that? And was it? How did that make you feel? And how did you get around?
I found it more that it was sort of it wasn't a competition with everyone else, but sort of a competition with yourself, because you're always trying to be the best that you can be. And I never really looked around and thought, oh, that person's better than me. I was always sort of thinking, will I be better than I was last year or the last time I did this speech? That's always the sort of competition I had, was with myself.
So what you're saying is you had a very healthy mindset.
Yeah, I was about to say the same thing, actually.
I was going, you bastard.
The awareness of it. I wish I had that sort of awareness at 19.
What about you, Lynn?
A bit like Joe, but I got to admit, I did have a view of, I like to see how people react, how people act, and not compare myself to them, but see, you know, if it's good and if I like it, I think it's great. Everything's like, it's all down to interpretation.
Mm. Yeah,
you know, some people can like something, some people can dislike something. It doesn't mean whether they're good or not. It depends whether if you like the material they're doing. Like, so the material I'm doing this year is, it starts off very dead, like psychotic person, and then he instantly jumps into a comedy routine. It's a big switch. Some people might really like that and some people not. But like Joe as well, I feel like I have improved myself since last year. Last year was more learn the monologues, give the plays a little skim over, read them. I'm like, yeah, that's great. Let's go and audition. Whereas this year I've taken a lot longer to ready myself. This is more a few months in advance with teachers and reading over plays and all the different subcontexts and stuff. Yeah, so a bit like Joe, but I do see a little bit of competition in I'm a competitive.
I agree with you that you watch, if you ever get into an audition and you get to see other people perform, it's always nice I don't like to say this, but if you think, oh, I'm better than that person, it's always a nice sort of, okay, this is, I'm okay now.
Yeah.
But, and I agree that you get kind of disheartened when you think, oh, that person's like really good.
It's funny actually, because I was just thinking, it's kind of you saying that, do you ever, because I certainly, hearing you speak about it like that makes me think, do you ever feel like sometimes you're not competitive enough? Because I certainly, remembering back to when I was doing those things, going, actually, I don't know if I was hungry enough for it then.
I think that's definitely.
And so, I don't know if I was like putting myself up against those people and being almost competitive enough, because I think you watch some of these people and they're hungry for it, you know, really, really hungry for it. Have you ever found that within yourselves? Have you ever thought, actually, maybe I'd... Then you kind of mentioned it then, you know, whereas, you know, you said last year, actually, you didn't give it as much as you thought you could have.
Yeah, no, this year, like you just said, I believe I'm starving for it. I feel like I've put a lot more effort into it this year, and I will be looking at other people's performances And I'm not comparing it, but I would like to see who I'm up.
You know, I don't think it's bad to say you want to be better than other people, because we are a lot of times pitted against each other like that.
Yeah.
You've got to have some level of self confidence to even be in the industry, because you've got to think you're good enough, and you've got to think you're maybe better than other people, because you've got to grind that, and
it's a fine line to walk, isn't it, between self confidence and arrogance.
There's a big difference. I mean, when I've been at drama school auditions, you do see people who have the confidence, and then you have two people who've got the arrogance, and there is it is quite prominent.
Yeah. Yeah, I think because we're always told that we have to strive for that greatness. It's interesting. It's a tough going to work in. So I guess I can't remember. I had another question in my head. It's completely gone again. Really good at interviewing, guys. If anyone wants to give us
the best,
and we are available for hire. If anyone wants to give us a radio show, we'll plan it a bit more than this. But okay, so where do you sort of, or where would you like to be in the next sort of, 5 years? Maybe 5 years is almost too much. Sorry,
that dreaded question.
Maybe 5 years is almost too much, because
where do you want to be in 5 years? What's your mother's maiden name? What's your PIN number?
Your first name. Have you even thought that far ahead? Because I know sometimes I like to sit there and think, where am I going to be? But then I get stuck on dinner. Because sometimes it's tough to plan those things. But do you have any aspirations, or are you kind of taking it one thing as it comes?
I have just started putting preliminary plans in place as to where I want to be with music, and I've kind of decided that 2 EPs and a short tour would probably suffice for now as like a jumping point, and anything more would be an absolute bonus. But yeah, it's really been sort of like a decision that I've made over the last few months, that this is what I want to do, and I want to take it more seriously. That said, it would mean having like a budget and basically still working on the side and keeping that going and having the music as a back burner still. But if it starts to become, and the music becomes more notable and people start listening, perhaps, then I would put it more to the forefront.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
I've sort of signed myself up basically for the next 5 years.
Oh, of course you have.
Hopefully. So, hopefully, I think around that time I'd be starting flying training. So that would be really cool. There's a really massive backlog in the area.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. So about 5 years, wait until you start training to fly. So that's hopefully where I'll be.
In the air.
Hopefully by choice.
This has gone horribly wrong.
not just fly out of a massive slingshot. Where's Joe? Hi, Joe.
If I get into drama school, if I get into drama school, that's a different path. If I don't get into drama school, there's another path where I have to. If I get into drama school next 3 years, bosh. The additional 2 years, I don't know what happens from there.
Depends on what comes out of that school, I suppose, isn't it? Yeah.
If I don't get in drama school, then I would ideally probably try and get a more London-based agent and be more active and maybe get some more speaking roles and stuff and little small things and just build up a nice little portfolio of things. I honestly haven't thought that far. It's more me thinking year to year, because I've got a few big decisions coming up. I mean, it's either drama school or I can also my family's offering the family business, which I could also take over. There's that avenue. There's drama school avenue. There's just piling on my acting avenue.
So there's a lot of things, you need to make your mind up on.
Yeah, and it's tough to know which avenue to go down. I know acting will always be something I want in my life, no matter what.
Yeah.
How prominent it is, I don't know. I'd happily get a drama school and keep acting at the forefront as much as I could. But if I end up taking the family business over, then I would want acting somewhere on the back, like you, on the back burner.
Yeah.
So yeah, more year to year than 5 years for me.
Which is fair enough, I guess. Darren, some questions. That's made Darren really depressed.
I like money.
And we are available for hire.
Do you go to the theatre much? Is it, or do you go to live performance in any way much?
I try to go a bit more often than I think I have. I think it's something, because I don't think it was ever, when I was like younger, really encouraged to go to much theatre. And I don't really think that's the school's fault that I went to. I think it's just the fact that if you go and see performance of some kind, it's usually, you know, a film or you listen to music, I think. And it's also the fact that before Margate became a go-to place again, there wasn't that many places that were...
Around here, that would have been
sort of attractive to go to, performance-wise, drama-wise as well.
Hmm.
Which is performance, sorry.
That's
a funny question, because me and Joe are going to see a show tomorrow, actually.
Oh, what is it?
We're going up to Rose Bruford, actually, one of the drama schools. Morning to Midnight is called. It's one of the autumn season of plays that the students put on. I want to see more theatre. It's the fact that it's a shame because there's not much. There is stuff around here, but when I want to see theatre shows, it's mainly in London or even the Marlow, and sometimes it can just be costly to get up there and see it all and stuff. But I am making an effort to be more. To watch more theatre.
I think the most theatre that I watched was when I was at Rose Bruford for those 6 months, because that was sort of what everyone was talking about there.
And we got discounted your mind tickets. Fully.
I think that was the most theatre I've watched in that sort of space. I don't really go to watch drama plays and I go to watch musicals at a theatre, because that's sort of what I really like to watch, and I sort of get the most enjoyment out of watching musicals. But yeah, I've seen a few plays at my time at Rose Bruford.
Just out of curiosity, what was your first exposure to theatre and drama?
That's a great question, Jack. Thanks for asking.
I'm just hijacking it.
I mean, you know, I think we've kind of briefly touched on it before in some of the earlier episodes. But for me, I can't. Sometimes I struggle to remember a time when I wasn't really interested. I think it probably started in school for me and then expanded outwards and became something that I was always just passionate about and interested in. And that, like kind of what kind of all of you has touched on, it went away and came back throughout the years, but particularly the last sort of, you know, 4 years or so. That's when it's been a job for me more than a hobby.
I started in school and the first thing I ever did in front of people was I used to sing, and I use the word sing very loosely. I used to sing the opening number from A Nightmare Before Christmas.
Oh,
I used to get up and just sing it. Not even near fucking Christmas. Just sing it. Not even near Christmas or Halloween. I just sung it, and I do like actions and stuff. And during show and tell.
Now?
No. No, and then
Darren Hill, the best.
Because I said it with utter commitment. And then going on from that, and then in the next year in school, during show and tell, I'd just get up and I would do Hopper speeches from A Bug's Life.
I was about to say, if you didn't mention that, I was going to bring it up, because I love that story.
And it, which means, you know, as a kid, I was quoting Kevin Spacey a lot, and wow, is that inappropriate now? And then I would do... But I would do weird things. It's weird how like the stuff I was into as a kid is still influencing me, but I've kind of left it. I used to do a lot of Irish dancing as a kid. And I say, again, I'm using Irish dancing loosely. What I used to do is watch a lot of Michael Flatley and then thrash my feet into the floor and wave my arms about. And I would get up in front in show and tell and do that. And the teachers would go, God, you're so talented. And really, I can't, on an audio medium, I can't show you, but I would literally just be at the front, just kicking the floor, going red-faced and waving my arms about.
That's kind of the thing, isn't it? It was
attention for me.
Yeah, it's attention and ego. You know, mm-hmm. It's exactly the same as it was for me. It was the attention I got. That was kind of the thing that drove me to go, I like this. I like this in particular. It was
is it fun. The same for you?
Yeah.
I'm a bit of an attention seeker. Yeah.
Getting told you're doing good at something is always nice.
I think you have to be in this. If you don't want people to watch you, why are you up on stage being lit?
There was a point during sixth form I got a bit bored and then I started learning how to do magic tricks because I wanted more attention. And it worked.
That bloody stage, I remember then. Put me off magic for a bit as well. I should have saw magic so much.
did you get really nerdy with it? And
nerdy?
It was as in like practicing every hour every day and obsessing about it.
I watched a YouTube video and had a pack of cards and I'd learnt how to do. There was one trick that Chris Pratt did during an interview.
Yeah.
And I just completely copied that trick, went into school, did it to people, and then just the more and more I did it, the more I got better at it. So people were just like, what?
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, I know, I'm really cool.
I'm really hip.
I'm really down with this.
So we need to take Joe to Houdini's magic bar.
I've been. I've never done my tricks, but
we go every week.
I do like
because we're alcoholics. I
the best alcoholics
who are available for drinking.
We like cocktails.
I don't know where we are now.
Because we started getting interviews.
Yeah,
where it was. What is it you enjoy most about sort of working in the industry? What do you actually really enjoy? And have you done any paid jobs actually, curiously?
So what I enjoy, I enjoy the social aspect. It's talking to new people, everyone you get to meet. 9 times out of 10, they're amazing people. Yeah. Everyone's nice. Everyone wants, especially in the industry, most people just want to help other people.
That is the thing, isn't it? Because kind of contrary to what we were saying earlier about the competition and how you're kind of made to pit yourselves against each other, a lot of the time. Certainly the people I've met and worked with have all been really, really nice people, and I never feel like I'm getting.
I think you have to be. But also, I think it's the thing of it's like anything. Your reputation is actually the thing that's more key at times than your talent.
Yeah,
I would say if you can get reputation for being courteous, turning up on time, and working hard, you'll go quite far.
Yeah,
I think. I think those are the key ones. I was going to ask you, Liam, because you mentioned about everyone being nice and whatnot, and it was a thing of that on the last episode. I really described how much I hate doing it. How do you find networking?
telling.
That's when I decided to think my own shit.
Network for me. First of all, one major flaw of my networking is that I'm not on Twitter. And that's where everyone says you need to be on. Networking, I'm not... I've made my own acting Instagram account. I haven't made the... there's a Facebook one there if you search in, but there's nothing on it. So I was like, just leave it there for the time being.
It's a placeholder.
Yeah. Instagram is where I'm really prominent at the moment. I've got an acting account that's following all these different actors, casting directors, these agencies. Mm. So I'm all. I go on there, it gives me a little flick of what's going on, casting opportunities that are going on. I do make a thing of it to, if I meet someone, to get their Instagram handle, their Facebook. Facebook name.
What's your Facebook name?
It's Jeff Bridges.
And it's a way to stay in contact, and you never, especially in industry, make friends with everybody you can because they can give you work at the end of the day.
Yeah.
I was speaking to a guy when I was just being an SA on an extra on a TV show, and he said, I'll keep in contact so you would fit something I'm wanting to shoot, and you've got the same ideas as me, we could do something together. I was like, alright, so he's adding me on Instagram. Haven't heard anything from him. That's been about 2 months now, but it's networking I'm okay with. I could be doing better, but I'm doing alright, I think.
Terrible.
It's hard though. It's hard. Yeah. I'm just not the best.
What about you, Jen? Sorry, I know I've hijacked the original question.
Sorry.
But we'll go back to it. But while we're on this train of thought, is it something you've
either of you?
I've never really considered it. That's very bizarre. I think I've only just started to think that probably it's important in terms of promotion and getting things out there. But the moment with where I am with the music is I'm kind of literally a jack of all trades, no pun intended. So if I'm basically going to be doing my own promotion, I'm going to be seeking out open mic nights that pre-exist and putting the music up on pre-existing media like SoundCloud and Bandcamp.
So sorry, Jack, are you saying you're available for hire?
I'm saying I'm available for hire.
Jack,
the best.
Well, like this game.
But I think sort of as time will come on and if this career path progresses, I'm going to need more professional people that know what they're doing with promotion, know how to make decent album artwork and etc. that can help me realise my vision. Because again, I think like acting and performance and theatre, it's a collaborative medium, music, a people profession.
It's my favourite thing to do is collaborate with other people in this industry.
Absolutely.
It's my favourite thing
to do. I know, and you're saying it, and I know it makes me feel bad, because I fucking hate it.
I hate it as well.
Thank you.
Being someone that says they're an attention seeker, I hate selling myself.
Yeah. I hate that, but I like working with other people. To work on a project, I like having lots and lots of people. I like having lots and lots of people around. I think that's my favorite. It's one of my favorite ways to work. I guess what I'm saying is I kind of like. I quite like a devising process.
But have you ever worked with someone really shit?
No, not really.
Then that's
why. That's my point. Yeah,
work with someone really shit, like really shit, and then you will realize why people are. I was about to say a word that I don't even want to say on the podcast. But yeah, then you will... I've worked with enough of those people. And if you're listening and you know you're one, you're one. If you think you are one, you probably are. Yeah, it kills it. Sorry, Joe.
Sorry, again, sorry. Darren is available for hire, by the way.
Darren Anger, the best. Sorry, Joe, I hijacked what you were saying again.
No, it's all right. Yeah. I was just saying that I just find it really awkward to have to, I don't know, sort of go up to people and sort of sell yourself to them and be like, I'm actually a really nice guy. Curious. Here's my email and my Instagram and my Facebook and being, I just feel really awkward being that in that type of position.
Yeah,
honestly, I went to a Surviving Actors convention up in London and... there was loads of these talks, and one of them was with a casting director telling how it is and all that. And oh my god, it was. I mean, you know, kudos to them for the effort of trying to. Literally, you saw about 10 people all kind of saying, "This is who I am. This is and that." It's like, and she's like, "I'm not taking any. I'm not here to do this.
Not here to do that today."
But people were just shoving it in their face, and some people were so desperate. And I know there is a desperate people. It can be that desperate need, but there's. There's a time and a place, and it really wasn't then, and she was getting really agitated with it.
I can imagine, yeah.
It's another thing as well with social media, the most annoying thing about it, and marketing yourself, is I've seen a few jobs nowadays where you've got to have a following.
Yeah.
You've got to have a certain amount, you've got to at least have 10,000 followers to have this job.
Oh, fuck off. Sorry. Yeah. That is. I've never said. That's new. Oh, no.
I think
that's offended me.
I think, and again, I'm speaking almost from a place of ignorance because I don't know this to be the case. But my assumption would be if someone needs everyone in their movie, in their production, in whatever it is, to have 10,000 followers, chances are that's probably not going to be a project that's going to find its legs without that. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
It needs the draw.
It needs the draw of that 10,000 plus following per cast member, per band member, whatever that might be.
Plus, isn't that conflating popularity with talent and...
Yeah, but I mean, you know, it's kind of the age we're in a sense. I think there's a combination of the two. You know, for the first time ever, we've got that tag influencer, which is such an interesting job now, where it is basically people have a massive following. are now a commodity to be sold and retailed out. It's very strange. But yeah, no, I think those ones that really need that. You're probably not going to the West End and finding that you need 10,000 plus followers to land yourself a job there. I think any, and again, I'm almost reluctant to say it, but I think any self-respecting organisation or project doesn't really need that. That being said, if you do want to come on and be interviewed on the Force 40 podcast, you do need at least 10,000 plus. Because we do need the help.
I'm laughing because it's true.
What was the original? How did we get onto this?
Things you really like about these.
Things you really like about sort of performing and things like that. And what's your favourite things within it?
I think sort of discovering new ways to do stuff was always sort of my favourite thing, because I always like to learn, I guess, different techniques. And I think going to Rose Bruford really helped sort of open my eyes to different things and different ways to go about stuff. And also practitioners, that was something I'd never really looked into until actually going to Rose Bruford and actually looking at practitioners and what they actually... I mean, I did it at drama at A level, but that was only like Brecht.
It's fleeting,
just,
isn't it? Yeah.
It's just stuff that you sort of know already from
casual conversations with your mates down the pub.
But yeah.
When Big Terry.
In our conversation, you would get that.
Yeah, that's very true. I was like, when Big Terry starts talking to you about Stanislavski and the menu. Big Ted. Jack, what about you?
I think with music, I think it's just trying to convey something that is probably difficult to say with words. I think just having playing an instrument and just making a music that can probably evoke something that would be very difficult to say, it's just brilliant. It helps get things across, I think. I sound really inarticulate.
No, you don't. You sound really articulate. You sound really, really, really good. I'm going to ask that. Have you got a question that connects to what we just asked? And I feel I need to check in because I've got lists of questions in my head, and my interview technique does not allow me to necessarily link them, make it a cohesive thing.
Darren Hill,
the best. Efficient, but not always.
Yeah. I've got no linking question.
Great. If you could have
my dinner.
Again, if you just so do yourself a favour, the last 15 seconds, listen with headphones.
Given because you're in the creative industries, either as actors, performers, or whatnot. If we could give you an additional skill that you don't have, but you go, I'd really love to be very good at that, and you could go, great, you could do that instantly. You don't have to bother learning it.
You just have it.
You just have it. Is there one that you go, I'd love to be able to do that?
Does money making count?
As in, we'd all have it.
Yeah.
We'd all love that one.
We'd all love that one.
But that's like asking a genie for unlimited wishes. You can't have that one. That's not allowed.
Because I'd learn, if someone could give me the power to learn an instrument, I'm tentatively starting because my partner knows how to play the piano, and every now and then she gives me an hour's lesson, but I need to do it more. I really want to be able to play the piano.
Right.
But if someone could come up to me and go, you could just play that, that would be great. I'd do that.
I don't know. I think it would probably detract maybe from sort of the joy you would get out of making the music, just having that ability to do it. Because I think while it's not difficult to learn an instrument if you dedicate yourself to it, I think that journey towards getting proficient at it.
You say that, Jack, but there are only so many times I can fuck up bite from cats. But there are only so many times I can fuck up the opening four bars before I go, fuck this.
But I agree with Jack, because I play the guitar not very well at all. I just sort of know the chords and everything, but I'm starting to do a bit of finger picking and stuff like that. And once I sort of get the hang of it, and then I learn a new finger picking song, which I never thought I'd be able to do, starting to learn.
It's amazing.
Yeah, I just like, oh, I'm so good at this. It's another, oh, I'm really good at this. Yeah, it makes me feel good.
Yeah. I don't know. I think in relating it back to your question, I think having the quality of self-assurance or maybe more confidence would probably serve me a bit better than I think having a pre-existing attribute. Because I think while I believe personally that I'm quietly confident, it never comes out, I think, that way. I think people tend to see me as probably a bit more tentative. I think it's just having that kind of like making it seem more outward that I am a confident performer, a confident person.
It's a really good answer, and you've taken the question to a more profound level than I thought it was going to get to, which is
to be good at dancing.
Good at dancing. That would probably be mine, actually. Yeah. I wish I could.
Really good at dancing. Yeah. Because all I can do is a two-step and do different stuff with my hands, and it sort of looks like I'm doing something different, but I'm not. But I think I'm fooling people. Mm. At the same time, I don't think I'm fooling people.
No, I'm the exact same dancer. I can do the Charleston. And if I'm out on a night out, that's the main dance I do.
Yeah, just a little two-step.
The Charleston, yeah.
That's it. Everyone loves it.
That's the thing is, I have one or two moves that I can do fairly well, and then I just do those in slightly different angles, and people are like, wow, you're such a good dancer. I'm like, yeah.
But even like stuff on Strictly, like just ballroom stuff. I'd love to be good at that, because then you'd just be like, I can do ballroom.
A real cool, I'd love to be good at that, yeah, like, real cool choreographed dances.
Yeah,
that would be mine. What about you? Do you have? Oh, you said instrument. So
I'd be instrument or a language.
Oh, that's, language.
That's
me.
That's what I was going to say. I would love to just instantly pick up a language, and because I went to France recently, and I know bits and odds and ends of French, and I just love it if I could just go over there and go bonjour.
Okay, yeah. I can do that. But that's not you can.
That's safely actually language.
Yeah, I always feel horrible when you go to a different country and they can speak English and you can't speak their language.
I went to Germany beginning of this year, and I had a guy who was saying, "Oh, my English is really, really bad." And that I then proceeded to have like a 2-hour conversation with him in perfect English.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I feel horrible.
Yeah.
Because what I think transpired was he couldn't write the English language very well, but he could speak it far, far more proficiently than some English native English speakers could. And yes, I always feel so guilty where pretty much everyone else in the world, considering how people always say it's quite a difficult language to master, English, because we've got so many synonyms
like, got like enough.
Bat and bat.
Enough. If you look at the word enough, it does not say enough. It says enough.
Yeah, it does.
I like that. I'm sorry, Jay. Sorry.
Flirting with playing footsies. But yeah, well, thanks very much. Is there anything else? Have you got much?
I probably did, but it's gone out of my head now.
It's good. No, but it's nice. I personally, I'm sure Dan would as well, I'd love to sit here and talk to you, but we're trying to do this thing right now where we don't record for like nearly 2 hours. Because we're really good at doing that. But I guess, have you got anything to plug and promote? Not that many people are going to hear this. Probably your friends who are now going to know what you're doing anyway.
Follow me on my Instagram, my acting Instagram. That's the main thing I'm just trying to boost up, because, like I said before, you got to have a following sometimes.
Yeah.
And I'm only on 100 and something. My promoting that's really hard for me. But yeah, follow that. Liam_Scott_Wright_Ayres.
We'll put all the links in the description.
Yeah,
anyway.
Anything else?
No. Follow your military career. With close.
You can always follow me if you want. I'm single.
And he is available for dating.
Joe Wyatt, the best.
Joe, what are you?
Nothing to plug yet, but watch this space, guys.
Follow your dreams. Just give it that.
Follow your dreams, everyone. That's a nice end.
Follow your dreams.
Cool. Well, thanks for listening.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, good night. Thanks for listening. As always, we've been your fools. Connor Maud.
Darren Hill.
Bye, friends.
Bye.
Darren Hill. He likes money.